So I invite you to open up to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read verses 18 to 25 and then focus in on the words of the angel to Joseph in the dream concerning Christ. So Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, and I invite you, if you're able, would you please rise for the reading of God's word from Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So here we see the angel appears to Joseph in a dream. In the middle of history, this is historical and it's supernatural. And the angel gives Joseph some information that Joseph needed to change Joseph's course of direction. He was going to divorce Mary. And the angel appeared to him and told him this information about Jesus and how he was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit. And after this dream, we see Joseph responding in faith and obedience. So he goes ahead and acts according to the word of the Lord through the angel. And in verses 20b through 23, we get this message from the angel to Joseph. It's interesting. Here we have another Joseph who the Lord speaks to through a dream, like Joseph long ago, who was a minister in the line of the seed to come, which came through his brother Judah, but was part of the family and part of the Lord's preparation for the coming of the seed, the Savior, this offspring, going way back to the word of promise to Eve in the garden, and even before that in God's eternal plan. And so the angel says to Joseph in 20, the second half of 20, that Mary, who was a virgin, was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is amazing. So there's no other conception in history like this. You've got Sarah, who was barren, and it was a miracle that she conceived and gave birth to Isaac, but it was through relations with Abraham that God worked this miracle. This miracle was that Mary was a virgin and conceived by the Holy Spirit this child. And so the one that she bore was true God and true man. Jesus is the God-man, the eternal Word, as we read, the eternal Son, who took to himself a human nature, remaining, of course, God eternally. In the incarnation, he took to himself a human nature, so that this one who was born to be our Savior was true man, and so qualified to die in our place, the place of us human sinners, and was then also able, as true God, to save us from all of our sins. The Heidelberg Catechism puts it this way in a question and answer form. Why must the mediator be a true and righteous human? God's justice demands that human nature, which has sinned, must pay for sin. But a sinful human could never pay for others. Why then must the mediator also be true God? So that the mediator, by the power of his divinity, might bear the weight of God's wrath in his humanity, and earn for us and restore to us righteousness and life. And so the Savior, in order to save us, had to be true man to be qualified to die in our place, and true God to be able, worthy and able, to save us from all of our sins. And this is exactly what Joseph was told, that Mary had in her womb, was a child conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit. And so true man and true God. In verse 21, the angel tells Joseph that that she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This personal name, Jesus, Yeshua, means the Lord saves, or the Lord is salvation. That's what the name means. Joshua is the same name, Yeshua, Jesus, the Greek form. And it means the Lord saves, or the Lord is salvation. Here's the gospel in a nutshell, in one word, Jesus, Yeshua, the Lord saves, or the Lord is salvation. And what a most valuable and necessary gift for needy sinners to be saved. So here, Mary bore the God-man in her womb. His name was to be Jesus, because he is the Lord who came to save us from our sins. And then the angel tells Joseph in verse 22 that all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. And here the prophet Isaiah, quoting from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, in Isaiah, Ahaz was told to ask for a sign, an extraordinary sign. And we have more spoken about this sign in chapter 9, which has, you know, this another very well-known Christmas passage, where in chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, we read this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." This is the son of the miraculous, extraordinary sign that Ahaz is told to ask for but refuses to, but the Lord's going to give a sign anyways, and he says, "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son." It had to be that's extraordinary. That's extraordinary. And so then we get this more commentary on this extraordinary sign in 7 through 6 of chapter 9. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So this son would be in the line of David, and also divine. Again, extraordinary, this wonderful miracle of God, extraordinary but true. "Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." So this will be the work of the Lord, of course. Jesus, the Lord saves. Yeshua, the Lord is salvation. This is the gracious work of the Lord, this work of saving us. And so Joseph is told by the angel that this is in fulfillment of a prophecy that was given about 700 years before. And of course, there's many prophecies. This coming of Christ was long foretold in the scriptures. And this is just one of the places, a wonderful place, that here we see this fulfilled in history, in the virgin conception in Mary of the Savior, the Word becoming flesh for us and our salvation. And so we see that this is the crux of history. This was planned. This is God's wise and gracious and an amazing and wonderful plan, foretold long before, at many times, his wonderful plan to save us from our sins. And so you think of the wisdom of this, and the power that was involved in bringing this about. Here, the crux of history, the coming of Christ to save us from our sins, it gives goosebumps of wonder and joy at the thought of it. And Isaiah foretold it about 700 years before it happened. And the angel tells Joseph in the dream, what you are in the middle of is a fulfillment of this prophecy. And then in verse 23, he quotes from Isaiah 7:14, and he says, "And you shall call his name Emmanuel." So here we have a title name, a titular name to Jesus, personal name, the Lord saves, Yeshua. We get this titular name, Emmanuel, which in Hebrew is one word, but it's three in English, and it's God with us. Em, Anu, El, with us, God. And so God with us is this titular name. Again, speaking of the divinity, the deity of this one that Mary had in her womb, and also his purpose. He came to be with us. It's amazing. So the Son of God came to be with us in his incarnation for our salvation, the Lord saves, and for communion with himself. He came to save us from our sins and for him, for communion with our triune God, the Son and the Father who sent him and the Spirit who indwells us. So the Son, Jesus, Emmanuel, came to save us and to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us, coming for our salvation and for fellowship with us forever. So let that sink in. How very near God with us, Emmanuel, has come to us, brothers and sisters. He came in love. He came in our nature. He took on flesh. He became a true human, a true human being while remaining God. He came as our substitute to save us, to represent us and die in our place, that near that he came in our nature as our substitute. And he came into our very lives personally through faith, God with us. Now spiritually and one day face to face forever. So brothers and sisters, may we abide more fully in him this Christmas, Emmanuel, who came to save and be with us. So in this passage, we get these two names for Jesus, a personal and a title, Jesus Emmanuel, the Lord saves, God is with us. He came to save us and to be with us, as his names proclaim. So let me ask this, have you welcomed him as your Lord and Savior? Have you received the gift of Christmas? This gift greater than which none other can be conceived. Jesus Emmanuel. Is he, Jesus, with you? Is he with you? He came to be with us. Is he with you? And I'm not asking about this in a general sense of withness, but in a personal sense, such that you know God personally through his loving, blood-bought forgiveness. A pastor I heard of told about a lady who herself was a pretty good singer, but who really looked up to a particular celebrity singer and would go to all of her concerts when she came into town. And at each concert, she was there in the general presence of the celebrity singer. Yet each time, she refrained from going up at the end of the concert to meet this celebrity singer in person. She feared that she might ask her to sing and find out that she didn't measure up. And she was afraid of being rejected and having her world rocked. Now, you must at times look into the night sky or at a sunset or into the face of a loved one, or into your own conscience, and you know God, the glorious Creator, is real as can be. You're in his presence in a general sense. But are you afraid to approach him and meet him personally, knowing that you don't measure up, fearing his rejection, and really liking the world in which you do things your way? So you'd rather keep your distance. Please know that it is not safe to keep your distance. There is no hope in that. But Christmas proclaims that it is wonderfully safe to draw near in the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior by faith. The Bible says that one day we will all stand before God, and you should know that you will give account to Him, your holy and almighty Creator. And you will either meet Him with or without His Son. If without, then you yourself will answer for your sins with the punishment of eternal destruction. But if with Him, then you will enter into the joy of heaven and eternal, everlasting glory with Him, since He has already paid for your sins in full. Because God gave His Son to die for our sins and raised Him from the dead, He welcomes gladly and in love and forgiveness all who turn in repentance to and welcome in faith His Son as Savior and Lord. You see, by faith, we are united to Jesus Christ and so covered by His blood and made sharers in His joy and inheritance. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." You see, Jesus truly is the gift greater than which none can be conceived. This is the glorious and wonderful and amazing meaning of Christmas. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. Amen, and Merry Christmas.